Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinz Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You're living life as a gringo, where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that. My rapping is really bad. This life as a gringo.
Yes, hello and welcome to another episode of Life as a Gringo. I am Dramos, of course. It is Thursday, so it means it's time for our Thursday Trends episode. And my guest this week helping me break it all down, man, he is family. He's an amazing producer, artist, writer, musician, my guy, Laurito. How you feeling, bro?
What's up, bro? John Moss, hope you're feeling good. Thank you for having me, man.
Of course, of course. And we were talking about this off mic, but I have to mention it for the audience.
Please do.
It is just the first week of November and you already have your Christmas sweater on.
You got to. It's Puerto Rican Latino tradition, essentially. About the sweaters. The Christmas tree's coming up tomorrow. We got Coquito on decky, you know.
I love it, my bro. Well, listen, I know you're dropping a bunch of new music. I saw you drop something this last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Or you did, right? So it popped up on my Spotify. So that's always nice of Spotify to remind me of a drop from the homie.
We here.
So we'll talk all about that, man. But I want to get into some trending stories from this last week. I mean, you know, as usual, we'll have some heavy shit because that's just the nature of life. I mean, we have, Nancy Pelosi's husband assaulted at their home in San Francisco. So we'll talk about that as it seems to be another act of right-wing extremism happens in this country. So we'll talk about that, man. In the music world, we'll talk about Takeoff from the group Migos, who was sadly murdered in Houston earlier this week, and it's sparking a lot of conversations around music and I think content in general that we all support or ingest. So I want to talk about that. I want to dive into, man, this conversation that was happening on WeAreMeToo.com talking about the Latina wage gap in regards to white men in this country. And I've mentioned this a bunch on the show, and I'm always a huge advocate to make sure that this keeps being a conversation because it's very obviously a big problem. And man, needs to be spoken about more. And then on some positivity in our Mi Gente segment, we'll talk about somebody who used social media to go viral and now has literally changed their life completely. It's somebody that I interviewed a couple of years ago, and it's crazy to me to see where his life has gone since this viral video. So we'll get into all of that and more, man. But first, let's dive into some of these, man, heavier topics in a segment we call For the People in the Back.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
All right, so let's first start with Nancy Pelosi's husband being assaulted in their San Francisco home. Now, this happened last week. The defendant, David DePape, whatever his name might be pronounced as, not really that important, but he is in court, has pleaded not guilty, and he actually attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband with a hammer in their home, and she was not there, I'd say, luckily, because it could have been far worse. But this guy has talked about, you know, saying he was on a suicide mission, and the San Francisco District Attorney has said that, that, quote, this was not a random act of violence. This was not a random residential burglary. This is something that was specifically targeted. And the man who has attacked Pelosi's husband actually told officers and medics at the scene that he was sick of the quote level of lies coming from Washington, D.C., and came here to have a little chat with Pelosi's wife.
Yeah, crazy,
man.
It's a crazy thing to even think about. It's something that you didn't even think about, like maybe 10. Well, I guess you could probably say like there have been like targeted like attacks on politicians, but like not right in this specific level where, you know, a lot of the stuff kind of stems from the January 6th insurrection, you know, where a bunch of right wingers following this guy, I don't want to say his name, but following this guy and, you know, having the audacity to think that they can just take over things because, you know, just because, you know what I mean?
Right.
So this, like in particular, I heard about it the other day. I forgot where I heard it, but it just adds to the more to the conversation. Is like our, you know, left wingers or whatever party, but specifically left wingers, because it's mostly the violent attacks coming from, like, you know, people who are very right wing extremists that you know do these kinds of things. So it's, you know, yeah, it's very scary to think about that our politicians or just what you believe in, where you stand on the left or right, has an effect on your life. So it's pretty crazy.
Right. But and what to me, what's even crazier is it's not even based upon like actual real things, right? Like they've been pulling up this guy's Facebook and they've been finding him reposting like wild conspiracy, you know, videos and all these random things. I mean, you even had Donald Trump kind of insinuating that there was some sort of conspiracy with this attack, that it wasn't what people are claiming it was. Elon Musk, I think, even tweeted that there might be more to the story and then deleted it. So there's like people pushing these nonsensical conspiracy theories all over the place. And we're seeing it play out in the real world, right? Like this guy was ready to give his life for conspiracy theories, right? And the right doesn't seem to give a damn about the fact that they're pushing people to this point over literally nothing, right? And that's the scary part about this.
Yeah, it's like just wait it out. Let's see like if it's actually like what he's intending to do. Let's just like, and that's dangerous because, you know, especially with the government having the access that it has, to, you know, just our lives, and specifically those people who have some kind of like some issues, whether it's gun violence, past charges, you know, things like that, where they can literally look into that kind of stuff and, like, you know, just pinpoint these type of people who are spreading all this crazy, whether it's left or right, all this crazy conspiracy rhetoric all across, like, the media. And it's just like, you know, at what point can any of this stuff, like, be regulated? Can we just, like, you know, it's baffling to me. I just don't understand how, you know, this could happen repeatedly over and over again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's because, sadly, rather than making this about political ideology, the right is making it seem like your livelihood is at stake, right? And and ironically, they're the ones actually putting democracy as we know it in jeopardy. But right. they have their base convinced that, like, their way of life is at stake, and if they don't take action, you know, this country is going to be flipped upside down, you know, by the communist Democrats, right? Like, this man even said that his mission was to break Nancy Pelosi's kneecap so that she could be rolled in a wheelchair to the House to send a message to all these people. Like, bro, very specific and like, very crazy that this person thought, like, that this is what needs to happen, right? He's been pushed to this point. And sadly, the people that are responsible for this are never going to take, you know, responsibility. And in fact, they've actually been poking fun at this online. I mean, Donald Trump Jr. had posted a picture of a hammer and a pair of, like, tidy whiteys and made a joke about it and claimed it had nothing to do with this. Like, people are making all kinds of little, you know, jabs at this as if it's not that serious. And that's the really scary part, is, like, we are becoming desensitized to the reality of how fucked up this is, that a man broke into a congressperson's house and thankfully they weren't there, but then assaulted their spouse, all because of some lies that they're reading on Facebook. Like, that's fucking crazy to me.
Yeah, it's all fun and games until someone gets murdered. Like, that's right. Really what this kind of situation is. And the fact that people are just, like you said, poking fun at it, and not even just like, oh, we should take this seriously, just spreading more propaganda and more conspiracies and all this stuff, and not even trying to come to some kind of basis solution as to why. You know, well, we all know why. It's just they don't want it.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's scary that, because you always say, all right, well, how far is too far? And then they're going to have to be like, you know what, guys, like, let's take a breather here. Maybe we've gone too far. But, like, that line keeps getting pushed back further and further, right? Like, January 6th should have been the bar.
Capitol literally, like, taking over. Like, what more else can there be, you know?
Right. Right. But like, it's just like, man, how far will this go? And it does lead you into, like, the fear of, like, man, are we going to face another fucking civil war? Because at this point, at this rate that we're going, where does it stop? You know, it's very obvious that the people on the right are more concerned with, you know, scaring their base as a means to maintain power. And they don't care how far this gets pushed.
And I think one of the, I guess, the after effects of something like this happening, or maybe it's kind of happening, you know, as we speak, but it's this idea of, like, you know, all these people are basically, like, they're in their bubbles of their own ideologies, right? So all this, and then like civil war and, like, all these kind of things that kind of everybody's, like, spewing, whether it's the left or the right.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm afraid of is, people being afraid to hear the other side's, you know, just, like, their opinions. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I feel like this has to come to a point where, you know, we have to kind of try to understand the other side. Like, why is it that you guys feel this way? Why? What's motivating you? Are you really, like, sheep, or is there something behind your ideologies? So it's kind of like one of those things where if we continue to kind of, like, divide each other, we're going to be less inclined to want to have conversations with each other, and that just creates more separation and division with everybody. And that entail would probably be something that will cause a civil war.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that to that point, you know, the way that we ingest media these days and get information, it's so kind of filtered to just what reinforces the things that we believe, right? And this is for the left and the right, you know, where we're just getting more and more sort of reminders and sort of doubling down on the things that we believe, rather than actually getting new information that might challenge us or make us see things a different way, right? So to your point, you know, there is like this division because nobody's wanting to see the other side's point of view anymore, right? There's no real healthy debate. It's more so, you know, shaming the other side, and they're completely wrong and we're completely right, and there's no sort of middle ground. And that's a very scary place to be in, and it's a very undemocratic place to be as a country that promotes democracy, you know, the greatest democracy in the world, as its kind of greatest covenant.
And it's just like we see it slowly, just like little by little, just getting higher and higher, like the everything, like the tension and everything, just getting higher and higher and higher and higher. And at a point, it's like something's gonna happen. January 6th was just like if not the biggest example of what could happen when people are led astray. And it's continuing. So I think that right now it's more about having like these conversations and like pointing people out, like, yo, this is what's happening. And this is probably the reason why they're doing it. And, you know, we have to call them out on it because they have to be held accountable. And that's the biggest thing right now that we're facing, is the level of accountability. It's just not there anywhere, you know?
Right. No, that's a great point. Now, I got a few more things I want to get into, but first, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling, and it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, we are back. Now, let's kind of switch gears. I mean, to another big conversation that's happening. And this is kind of, I feel like this conversation started a bit with Kanye going off on Drink Champs, but it's the conversation about music, right? And the promotion of certain types of music. I mean, and first and foremost, I'm referencing right now, sadly, the murder of Takeoff from the music group Migos in Houston this last week, earlier this week, I should say. And a senseless murder. I mean, he was only 28 years old. From some of, like, I guess the unofficial reports, right, it seems like he might have been the victim of a stray bullet. You know, wasn't even something that was targeted for him, but apparently he was with Quavo from the Migos, and they were playing a craps game. Things got heated and people began fighting. Some people started firing shots, mm-hmm, and he unfortunately got hit by a stray bullet. And there's been a lot of call for people kind of taking responsibility for the type of music that they make and promote, right? And like I said, I think it kind of started with Kanye, where he was talking about the type of music that's being rewarded, you know, by the music industry. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'd see a lot of conversations sparking up about that. Now with this, you know, I mean, we saw PNB Rock get murdered, sadly, recently. Nipsey Hussle is another example of that. And now I saw Lakeith Stanfield on Instagram talking about how anybody who supports, you know, quote unquote gangster rap is basically, you know, in support of the murder of young men, right? Or black men, essentially. Sure. To kind of paraphrase what he was talking about. So I'm curious, I mean, for you as a musician, you know, I mean, where do you kind of fall on this? I mean, I know you don't necessarily make this kind of music, but no, you know, when it comes to the art and also chasing a trend of what's popular, I mean, kind of what responsibility does the artists sort of take, do you think, and what as the audience, or, you know, do we take as the consumer?
Yeah, I think you know, it's a difficult conversation to have because you don't necessarily want to put any kind of limitations on art. I know that's like a, mm-hmm, that's been happening with like cancel culture and like,
yeah,
you know, you know, even with like comedians and movies and everything about it, and that, right, you try to, you know, you try to, I think nowadays versus like 10 or 20 years ago, there wasn't really anybody being held accountable, mm-hmm, or as much as people are today. So I think, you know, today we have to kind of like find the fine line between our art and like what can, you know, and it kind of sucks because you're kind of like, you kind of just become like constricted by society and like what is, mm-hmm, proper, what is, you know, politically correct. So, you know, as an artist, you try to find a balance with that, whether you're talking about gangster rap, whether you're talking about love, romance, or whatever. You're trying to find a balance where, you know, if you're an artist who understands artistry, then you mm-hmm would get that's mm-hmm what it's about. When it comes to certain situations like this, where gangster rap, kind of like even since like the 80s, since the days of like NWA, where it's kind of become this commodity for people to kind of just take, sell, and mm-hmm mass produce. And then it become the what we know now is like pop culture for like hip hop.
Sure.
So all that being said, I think that, like I said, we're getting to a point where this idea of gangster rap is not safe. It's no longer safe anymore. And I think, mm-hmm, it's a difficult conversation to have because it's either people don't want to realize it or they don't want to take,
right,
accountability for it. And I think for a long time in that community, in the hip hop community, it's like no one wants to take accountability for anything. And I think, right, I think with like what Kanye was saying, especially what Kanye was saying, where it's like, you know, there is this, actually, let me not even say that. All I'll say is that, you know, hip hop culture has become a lot of things. And I think in that specific genre, and you also got to think about it too. Like I don't want to say anything, you know, in malice towards it, but like the Migos was talking about that life. They were talking about,
right,
you know, living that life, whatever that life was. And I think that they also needed to take some accountability for what they're talking about, as well as any other hip hop people who want to portray that life. But when it comes down to living that life, like I grew up in the Bronx. Like, I grew up around hip hop culture. I grew up in Newark. I grew up around that culture. So I understand like the community, like it's a community thing. I understand like the culture of everything. So
mm-hmm
it's hard for me to judge because I grew up in it. So I understand, I have a, a very good understanding of how it is. But at the same time, when it comes to the art, man, I just feel like, you know, you have like the RICO laws also too, which you can be kind of like, you know, apprehended or sued for whatever it is that you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, man, it's a difficult conversation to have. It sucks that, you know, people like Nipsey, like legends and shit like that have to like die, like, you know, still trying to like provide good for their community. But right. I mean, you know, what's the phrase? Like you can't take the hood out of the person, or something like that. It was like,
you can't take the hood out the person, but you can take the person out the hood.
Exactly.
There you go. But that's
exactly this case. It's like all these people are still like in their communities, and I love that the fact that they're helping, but there comes to a certain point where like you have to realize that your life is in danger now, and it's like people want what you have. So at what point are you just like, yo, maybe I can help from afar, you know what I'm saying, which would be the smart thing to do, but you know, they still want to be involved, which is admirable, but also dangerous. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a very nuanced conversation, right? And I think, you know, I mentioned Kanye not because I thought there was any validity to what he was saying as far as like the puppet strings that he's claiming are being pulled by, you know, a certain community, but more so because it to me, he was also placing blame in the wrong places, right? Because I know it's easy to say the record labels and the music industry is profiting off of the pain of people of color. And on the surface, they are. You know what I mean? They are exploiting that. But to me, it's no different than the way they're exploiting a Taylor Swift or a Justin Bieber, right? You know, I was having a back and forth with someone online that I know. And my point was that, listen, at the end of the day, Justin Bieber is signed to the same record label as YG, right? And Cardi B and Ed Sheeran are signed to the same record label. They're all getting the same money pumped in from the same place, right? You know, the labels and the industry are going to exploit whomever they can to make their profit. Whatever is popular, they will exploit it, right? You know, this whole like emo rock hip hop thing is popular. They're going to go find a bunch of artists that they can pull out of TikTok to exploit that sound right now. And, and you know, it doesn't matter if they come from a rich family or a poor family. They're looking to make as much money off of this, you know, trend as quickly as they can until it bursts, right?
Right.
And not saying that it's right. I mean, the optics of it are terrible to think that you have, you know, middle-aged white men profiting off of people of color who are coming from very dire circumstances and feel like this is their only way out of it. But also, I think we have to turn the lens on ourselves as well as the consumer, right? You know, why are we so drawn to this type of music? You know, people can say, oh, Spotify is putting it on the playlist and this and that. But the reality is if we skipped over it, we didn't listen to it, didn't give it that streaming number, they would pull it, right? You know, at the end of the day, DJ Khaled has all the money behind him in the world, but Tyler, the Creator, who gets no radio play, beat him out as far as having the number one selling album the same week they dropped, right? So the consumers are speaking, and the labels, especially in today's day and age with technology, they don't set the trends. They react to what we're setting, right? We, the consumer, set the trend, right? We make the TikTok video go viral that then the labels want to jump on whatever artist that is, right? So I think it also, aside from the artists themselves, which I think is fair, right? You know, when you are promoting a certain lifestyle, when you are glorifying a certain lifestyle, when you are keeping yourself in the same exact situation that you were trying to get out of, you know, and putting yourself in harm's way when you are now somebody of privilege, right. You know, sure, you bear a certain responsibility. But at the end of the day, nobody would be doing that if we, the consumer, were saying this isn't what we want, right? And I think that's a bit of a lens we have to put on ourselves. And it goes beyond music. It goes to reality television, you know, garbage reality television. Why is it that the Kardashians are still, you know, getting paid millions upon millions of dollars for a garbage reality TV show? Why is Love and Hip Hop a thing? You know what I mean? Basketball Wives, all of the above, you know, Baddies of the South, whatever other random shit is happening right now.
Right.
Like, why are these things getting millions of dollars pumped into them? It's not because people want to throw around money. It's because they are profitable because we, the consumer, are watching it and ingesting that content. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so weird, man. It's just like, everything you said was such a great point, because it's like, what in the hell? Like, what exactly is it? And I think it's just really American culture. American culture just enjoys violence. American culture enjoys sex. American culture enjoys like all these drugs, whatever, violence. And I think that's been so embedded into our culture that it's now transferred into social media. It's transferred into our everyday lives on billboards and everything, where it's kind of like, it's almost like we're numb to it now. It's like,
yeah,
we're, and I think that's why where the accountability comes in. It's like, you know, even though the rappers and the hip hop artists and whoever glorified that culture has to take accountability, a lot of the accountability, like you said, comes to the consumer because we're the ones giving them the validation of their music. And they're like, right, now we can keep doing more of this stuff and they like it. Blah, let's make more, and they'll keep buying it. So it's like, yeah, man, it goes both ways. It's like, it could be hip hop artists can maybe just, you know, write songs that has nothing to do with guns and violence. And I don't know, make fucking sunflower videos or I don't know, something like that where it's, but and it might change the way the consumer purchases that stuff and probably won't be as profitable anymore. So it's like,
right,
what do we do?
right. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You're telling people who feel like this is their only way out of some of the most dire circumstances that we know in this country.
Yeah.
And they feel like this is the quickest route out of that. You're telling them to be patient and take a stand on something that may never be commercially viable for them to get out of their current situation, right? So it's a bit of a double-edged sword, and sadly, it's a really long road upwards, right? Because I think you need to have both the community, the consumer, and also the artist all on the same page of saying, we're going to change the culture of it all, right? You know, but the reality is, you know, when you look at the landscape of music, you know, the Kendrick Lamars and the J. Coles are very few far in between, right? You know, the reality is many of the conscious rappers never have broken out into the, you know, mainstream world and gotten that gigantic successes, you know. It's oftentimes a glorification of the terrible things. And again, it speaks to us as consumers. I mean, it's why fucking Dahmer was the number one, you know, thing on Netflix. You know, it's all of the above, and it's a really difficult and nuanced conversation, and man, there isn't a right answer. That's what I think is frustrating, right? It's so much bigger than just us, right? So it's like there's no easy fucking pathway to get there.
Yeah, man, I feel really bad. I feel like, you know, Takeoff was my favorite from the Migos, and yeah, it's just very sad to see that this keeps continuing to happen. We lost so many people just in the last 4 years, I think, from like Juice WRLD to Nipsey to Takeoff. So I think, you know, like you said, we need to continue having these conversations, and people just need to keep hearing them, and hopefully, you know, in the next couple of years it changes for the better. But, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic.
right. Well, I think
in a pessimistic world.
Yeah, in a pessimistic world, yeah. But I mean, I think the last thing I'll say is I think the easiest route towards hopefully avoiding things like this, and you never truly can, is I do think that we have this notion that, like, you know, when we make it, we want to be able to kind of exist still in the same world that we were before, you know, and I think that probably exists for all of us to a degree. We want to be able to go home and, like, you know, and not necessarily show off, but just be able to kind of go back to the place that we came from. And I think, you know, sadly, once you've sort of reached a certain point, you also have to evolve your mindset. You know, I think there's no reason why, you know, Quavo and Takeoff being successful artists, you know, and I'm sure multimillionaires need to be, you know, shooting craps outside of a bowling alley at 2 a.m. You know what I mean? Like,
do it in the casino. You're making so much money.
Right.
Do it in the, you know, where there's security and police and, you know, people who have guns.
right. Exactly. I think there's this pressure to be real, right? There's this pressure to not change, to be that person, right? And I think, you know, again, we have to just learn to evolve beyond that, right? I mean, even somebody like Nipsey Hussle, who literally was not trying to be tough for any of these things, you know, at this point, he was just trying to help his community and show them that, you know, you can make it and give back to your community and not have to leave. And sadly, in doing so, you know, put his life at risk that ultimately led to his death, you know, and it's not fair. It's not the way that it should be. But, you know, I think you have to protect yourself. You know, you have to look at yourself as a success story, as a business person. And in the same way that somebody like a Elon Musk or fucking, you know, Jeff Bezos wouldn't be in the hood shooting dice at 2 a.m, you have to carry yourself
That we know of.
In that same way. Right, that we know, right? I mean, they would probably bring the dice game to themselves, to them, exactly. Right? You know what I mean? Like, that's what rich people do, you know? So I think that's kind of how you have to learn how to move. You know, I think there's also this obsession with being real. There's this obsession with showing people that you never change. And the reality is we all have to change. It's a part of evolution, right? Even as getting older, you take money and success out of it. Becoming an adult is also not trying to relive your youth, right? Embracing this new life and this new personal growth that you have. And I think that's something that a lot of artists and people, when they become successful, need to get a grasp on for not only their own safety, but their own evolution as people.
Right. Yeah. That's the main thing. It's just growth, man. Just like grow out of that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Can't take the person out the hood. You can't take the
take the hood. You can take the person out the hood.
No, you can't take the hood out the person. I need someone to cut it for me. So,
so last thing I want to touch on for some of the heavier stuff. I want to talk about the Latino wage gap, because WeAreMeToo.com did a really good story about this, and it's something I've talked about. Sadly, it's an ongoing problem, but I wanted to again bring it up because it still continues to happen, and it still continues to affect so many women in our community. But they say that it would take nearly 2 years for a Latina to reach a white man's salary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they're saying that the pay gap between men and women has already been well established as one of the major blind spots of the contemporary workforce, with an overall gap of 73 cents to every dollar earned by a white man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that it actually has only increased in recent years, right? So it's only getting worse,
right,
right there. So they're also kind of debunking certain things. So some people might say, oh, well, maybe Latinas aren't getting higher education, blah, 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 right?
Right.
So they say, quote, one might assume that Latinas who pursue higher education have an opportunity to close the gap, but it turns out that the opposite is true. Latinas without a high school education are separated from their white male counterparts by a 21% wage gap. However, Latinas with their bachelor's degrees are separated from white men by 31%. While those who pursue even higher education get paid 27% less than white men, right? So they're saying, digging further into the data, it becomes apparent that as Latinas become more successful in their professional lives, the wage gap only gets worse. And the last stat I'll read is, they're saying when you estimate it, a Latina woman loses nearly $1.2 million in wages throughout a 40-year career.
Crazy. Freaking crazy.
There's no way around the numbers here, right? And this is why something like affirmative action is so incredibly important, even though they're trying to destroy it right now. But you know, even with those things in place, it's showing you that Latin women, even pursuing higher education, having the same qualifications, are being left out of the conversation. And what excuse can you possibly have, you know, at this point, right? They, like I said, people will say, oh, maybe they're not getting the same level of education, this, that, and the third. It's showing that actually the more education they get, the less money they're making in comparison, right, to their white counterparts. And it just speaks to, you know, not only sexism, but racism in this country that obviously, you know, Latinas, women of color, are not being viewed as worthy of higher paying positions, or they're viewed as someone that could be taken advantage of and offered a lesser salary than their white male counterparts.
Right. I think this when I read the article, it really it kind of reminded me a lot of my mom, because my mom, she not gonna lie, she probably maybe like one of like that 20-something% that ended up having. But here's the thing. This is why I thought about my mom. It was because like my mom worked as a, you know, she came from Puerto Rico, knowing no English. She had two kids, New York City, and she had to learn English. And she was a teacher. So she taught special education, specifically autistic students.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look back at, when I read the article, I look back at like, you know, the kind of like the career that my mom had as a teacher in New York and in New Jersey. And I remember right before she retired that last like maybe 3-4 years of her salary, I think it was about like 95-97K.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when I thought about that, I'm just like, imagine what I can only imagine what the male teachers might be getting. And my mom had to put in, I think she like 32, 33 years of being a teacher for autistic children, which is not easy because
sure,
you're only getting older, and she's also dealing with autistic adults who are students as well. so they can get aggressive. And she's had like a lot of injuries. Like, so it's like, it made me think about it because it's like, even if my mom got that, you know, really great salary for like people from where we come from, which is like, even though she works so hard for it, she still struggles. Like, still, like, and I'm sure that there's a lot of Latina women, especially, who still struggle after working years and years and years, trying to get that salary that maybe their male counterpart might have, or they don't even know that they have that one because they probably don't even disclose that information. So it just made me reminded me so much about my mom because it's like, you know, Latina women are actually, if not one of the stronger workforces in this country for many, many decades now.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's declining as far as them trying to get higher in their education, but their pay is getting lower, it's just like you said, it speaks to the stereotypical racist, sexist system that we have that treats Latinos like, you know, since forever now, like from ICE to the education system, to just like regular walking out in the street like type. So it's like you know, it's very disheartening, and I would love to know why that is the case, because I wish I had an answer, but I can only speak from, like, you know, my mom's personal experience, where she, you know, she did struggle with trying to be like, and it's crazy too because she, you know, as a teacher who works in that specific field, she was the top in her district. She was one of the most well paid in like the district and everything, but still no like real like recognition. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like I feel like she did something that maybe like she was like maybe 1% out of all of the teachers like in this district who work in her field who actually did something worthy of accomplishment, and we got to celebrate that with her. But like I said, there's no appreciation for that, and I feel like that correlates with maybe the way that Latinas are being treated financially and you know, on a societal level. So it's a shame it's still happening.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I think it's kind of a lot of the stereotypes of Latina women specifically being looked at as like the help, you know, stereotypically, sadly. And last thing I'll say is I know I had this conversation, I think, last year with a career coach, and they were basically, you know, the suggestion they had was for many women to not be afraid to ask some of your coworkers how much they're making for a similar job, you know what I mean? And to kind of dispel that sort of faux pas, if you will, right? Because the companies are the ones who created that faux pas of not sharing your salary, right? Because it's more beneficial to them for us to not discuss how much our counterpart is making, you know what I mean? And for us to not know whether or not we should be asking for a raise in comparison, right? That's all in the benefit of the company. It doesn't benefit us to keep our salaries a secret, you know? So those are just things, I guess, food for thought. But yeah, it's really scary to think that it's only getting worse as far as the gap between white men and Latinas in this country. And you know, you can only hope that conversations like this one continue to kind of spark people into pushing for what they deserve you know, not accepting less than that. Now, with that in mind, man, we talked about, man, a lot of heavy stuff today. I do want to talk about something positive, somebody who's made something of their life, which I think is amazing. And we'll do that in our Mi Gente segment. But first, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling, and it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for insuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Mi gente,
all right, so I want to talk about somebody who, man, we talk a lot about like the internet and using, you know, these tools that are available to us as creatives to kind of create, you know, the lifestyle that we want, right? And kind of the upper hand that it does give us in today's day and age. You know, for as much backlash as we can give the social media era, I think it also does put a lot of power in the hands of creative people, which is a beautiful thing and long overdue.
Absolutely.
And one of those people is this guy, Dogface. And he was the dude who went viral for skateboarding while listening to the Fleetwood Mac song Dreams. He was like the cholo who was skateboarding to that. And it's crazy to think 2 years later, his life is completely different. Now, I interviewed him for my TV show probably like a few months after he went viral on the internet. And when I interviewed him, you know, he was living in Idaho in a trailer, if I'm not mistaken. And literally, like, his goal was just like to be able to fix his credit so he could potentially buy himself a house, right? And when I was talking to him and I believe he had a daughter, if I'm not mistaken, he was trying to provide a better life for. And then now you fast forward 2 years later, he's released a song with Snoop Dogg. He's been on videos with comedians like George Lopez, Cheech and Chong. He's even got his own music now with a band called the 208 Natives. And most recently, even made his acting debut on the FX show Reservation Dogs, right? Mm-hmm. Which I didn't realize was him. I'm a fan of the show, and I thought he was actually really good on it. So to me, it's just like a beautiful kind of story of the power of social media, the power that it puts in our hands, and especially somebody, you know, like this, somebody from our community who, you know, mm-hmm. really was struggling to make it by as a warehouse worker, to see how he can change his life so dramatically just from something like this. I think it's such a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah, I think all I'm going to say is that any of the homies that make it in the community off of virality, I support you 100%. Because and Dogface is like a huge like example of that. He's just like somebody like one of our Theos or something like that. Who would just like, oh, vamos a ponerlo en TikTok and vamos a let's see what happens. And
yeah,
and it's a beautiful thing because it just you know, it I feel like the internet has provided like blessings for people, especially like people in our community, especially people with nothing and became something because of a video. So I think, you know, and he was also, I think I saw him on Mayans. I don't know if you saw Mayans, but Mayans is a fantastic show, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he did something with Jim Carrey. But yeah, man, I love the idea that, you know, somebody who kind of just like humbling, doing something like humble on the internet just to show people, just to do it. Not even just to like, for even if it's for himself, that sparked a, you know, a legacy for him technically. Where he kind of like, where he has been. And that's what I love about him too. Cause there's some people who go viral and they do shit. And he's like the people who capitalize off of it. And he deserves, and you know, now I feel like, you know, even though he went viral, I feel like now he deserves everything he's received because he capitalized off of that virality and made something of himself. And he put himself in all these amazing places. So, yeah, I hope, you know, I hope that keeps happening to more people, you know, who are deserving of it and not just doing it because of, you know, for likes and follow and stuff. But we're just doing it just because there was a guy also in New York City who was riding the I think it was a Harley, and he was doing the
Katy Perry. Yeah, he had a few different ones, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The one I remember was the making my way downtown.
Yeah.
And he went viral too, and he was just like riding his bike, and people just like, and that's the crazy thing too, is that you don't necessarily need to make yourself viral by recording yourself. Somebody can just record you from somewhere, stranger, and then you just go viral. So yeah, it's a beautiful thing. So I hope Dogface, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. I hope he keeps pursuing his dreams and you know, driving it forward as much as possible.
Yeah, I think he has a cannabis line or a CBD line as well he's working on, which is like...
That's what I would do.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing. But, and even actually, last thing I'll say is, because he has one of the biggest records in the country right now, Armani White with the Billie Eilish song, right? And he was somebody I interviewed a couple years ago. And actually, even during we've stayed in touch, but during the pandemic, like, he was living in Philly with like a bunch of his roommates, and like he had like water leaking through his roof and shit. Like he was in like a great situation, but he was just somebody who was always doing music for forever, you know, and then now finally broke out because of TikTok, and like his life is completely different. He signed to Def Jam. He's got, like I said, one of the biggest songs in the country. He's touring all over the place. He was at the BET Awards. Like, it's just a beautiful thing to kind of see the way that, you know, the playing field has been leveled a bit, you know, for people who want to put in the work and then figure out ways to capitalize off of it.
Yeah, I think, and I can kind of relate to this too, because I think you don't necessarily need to go viral or try to reach a sense of virality in order to be successful on the internet. Like with me, I can relate, because 2 years ago, you know, I was kind of discovered off of Instagram, and that was, and because I was discovered on Instagram, I was pitched to this like label out in Sweden, or like a music tech company out in Sweden, and they fell in love with me. And with like a month or two, my life was like changed from like living in a PT Cruiser, my beautiful 2003 PT Cruiser, gotta give it. you know, and they found me while I was going through some shit, and changed my life. I didn't have to go viral. But there are people on the internet looking for certain things that they might want, that you might have, and it's something that you can capitalize off of and have a career and be, you know, financially stable, which is, I'm blessed to say that just by doing something that I love and something I've been doing that I love for a long time. So I think, like, Dogface, like, again, it's just another example of like humility and just being yourself and that authenticity leading you to like the promised land. So it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. So, I mean, yeah, let's touch on your music. I know you just dropped another record. I feel like you're dropping almost, it feels like every week, but I'm sure. so I mean, let's talk about this new record and everything that you're working on.
I have this project that I've been working on for a couple of years, about like 2 years now, but like it really started like 5 years ago, like its inception. But essentially the project is this comic book that I wrote called Retro Caribe 2084. And this project, this comic book that I wrote, was pretty much an idea that I had where, what if, or a question that I had rather, like, what if Taino Indians survived colonization and lived up into the future, present day, and into the future, 2084? What would that look like? What would that world look like? So it was a lot of like world building and like trying to create an alternate universe of what there was, of what this would look like, you know, visually. So I hired an illustrator. I wrote the script. The illustration, everything is done. It's got, everything's going to come out in November. So I'm really excited about it. And pretty much the entire project is based off of the core, which is the comic book. So, the EP that I released is basically the soundtrack to the comic book, kind of like a film score inspired by a lot of the events that happened within the comic book. It's out right now. It's available. And I have a music video that's coming out as well, which we basically took a scene from the comic book and did like a live action interpretation of it. And and then, yeah, that's for the song Para Ti, which was the first single that I released earlier in October. So yeah, that's like a this big kind of like passion project that I had, where I was so interested in, you know, the indigenous Caribbean culture and Taino specifically, that I wanted to kind of create a conceptual idea around it, and if they lived in like to the future and what that would look like, and you know, just do a whole thing about it. But something I'm very like proud of, I actually did a Taino naming ceremony a couple days ago, where I got technically it's like they baptize you on the Day of the Dead for the Taínos, and they give you a new name from your ancestors. So my name that they gave me is Areikaoni Tequina, which basically means golden waters in song. Because when the shaman first saw me, and that's kind of like how I got involved, when he first saw me, he said that he just sensed like a golden aura around me. And then when I sang, he was like, oh, I know the name already. So he gave me that name because of hearing. So it's just crazy how this whole journey kind of took me up until that one point where it kind of like, all right, now I understand.
Yeah,
I had to do this project and needed to come out. I didn't care about like, you know, whether it was like viral or whatever, but it was something that was super important to me and about my ancestors and about, you know, trying to learn more about, you know, where I come from and stuff. So yeah. It's already 24.
Yeah. That's beautiful, bro. And you said the compo part is dropping later this month?
It's going to come out later this month. I'm just waiting for the dialogue and everything to be completed and then sending it off to print. So I'll have like limited edition physical copies of the comic book. And then once those are sold out, there's a demand, I will put it out for digital release as well.
Dope. Bro, I love this. I genuinely am excited for this. I'm going to make sure I pick up a copy for sure. So I'm excited. This is such a good concept. Where can people follow you to check this out when you drop it?
Sure. So my website, I post everything on there, laudito.music.com. And then like I always post on social media. So like Instagram at laudito, Twitter, TikTok, I guess now, YouTube, everything at laudito.
Love it, my bro. Well, always good catching up with you, man. Love what you're doing. Love hearing your perspective. I'm sure we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate you and much love, brother.
Man, big shout out to my guy, Laudito, for hopping on today's show. I just love seeing my people win and do really cool and just amazingly creative things. So big shout out to him. Go check out his project. It's amazing. I love what he's doing with the comic book and just thinking this big. Just really dope. He's working his ass off and I'm really proud of him. Man, now with that said, I want to get y'all's take on one of these topics that we've been talking about today for our Ask a Gringo segment. But first, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma. Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community,
because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Set sail and save right away when you book your next Disney cruise vacation with UndercoverTourist.com. Undercover Tourist is your secret for savings on all Disney Resorts vacations. And now, fun in the sun with Disney Cruise Lines. How about enchanting entertainment or an exclusive visit to Castaway Key? Anything's possible aboard a Disney cruise vacation. Book now with UndercoverTourist.com, an authorized seller, and get a free in-room decor package with your Disney Cruise Line booking. Plus, exclusive savings at checkout. UndercoverTourist.com.
Ask a Gringo.
I have a question.
All right, so we've been talking about, man, music in general and specifically hip hop and kind of the, some of the violence that people, you know, oftentimes will feel like it promotes or the sort of lifestyle that it glorifies. And this is kind of piggybacking off of the really sad murder of Takeoff from Migos, but in general, a lot of violence that we've seen toward, you know, artists of the hip hop genre recently, you know, really, really sad, you know, to see these lives taken far, far before, you know, their time for sure. But it does open up this conversation when it comes to the music and the people behind it. And, you know, are we sort of aiding to a lifestyle or a situation that only sort of continues to allow events like this one to happen, right? So I want to get y'all's take on this one via my Instagram at DJ Dramos if you want to be a part of these conversations. And I simply asked, who is responsible for the glorification of violence in music and why? Now, I got a few responses on this. I didn't really have time to let it marinate much, but majority of which were kind of in line, I think, with what myself and Larito were saying. Now, I want to read one that I think is a counter argument to that and kind of dissect it a bit. At @cross_soul, man, always super active. I appreciate you. They say the labels, if they don't pay out to it because it's popular, then it would possibly end. And I think, you know, there may be some truth to that historically, right? I think if we're talking about the 80s, 90s, and even 2000s, you know, there probably was some truth to that, to the labels having to bear a brunt of the responsibility, right? Because, you know, they were signing artists, and particularly signing artists before they had any sort of following, and they were really doing, you know, the traditional A&R process of finding an artist, molding them, creating the image or helping, you know, aid the image and bring the vision to life and then marketing it out there to the rest of us, right? But I think in the modern era, like I was saying with Larito, you know, that's not really the case. You know, the labels have moved from being the ones who sort of set the trends and you know, create the sort of music trends. They've moved on from that to really kind of being a facilitator and being more of an accelerator for trends that are already existing, right? For trends that we, the consumer, are creating, right? You know, for the most part, what you're seeing these days when it comes to record labels, they are signing artists who are going viral on TikTok, right? And that is zero creative work as far as the record label goes, right? We are dictating we like this song or this artist based upon the idea that we're making them go viral. And the record label is then just stepping in and facilitating a way for the artist to blow it up even bigger, right? But again, the trend, the virality of it is dictated by us, the consumer. And I think that we have to be conscious of that. You know, at the end of the day, yeah, is there some immoral practices done at the executive level by a lot of these record labels? Of course. I mean, personally, I've been an artist, you know, and not in the hip hop, you know, genre. And I've seen record label deals and I've seen record labels ripping off artists of all genres, all races, you know, all backgrounds. That's sort of, you know, par for the course, unfortunately, you know, historically when it comes to record labels. But the reality is, you know, record labels are exploiting whoever can make them money, be it a pop artist or be it a hip hop artist, be it a metal band, whatever it is. If you're able to sell records, if you're able to move the needle, get streams, whatever it is, they're going to want to be in business with you and they're going to exploit whatever it is that you do. And I think it's us now, the consumer, who are really dictating the trends. And we're the ones, you know, co-signing this type of music or the glorification of this lifestyle, right? And I think we have to kind of come to terms with that. Again, it's the same thing as television. You know, the reality is we have so many options to watch various things on TV, stream things, you know, free, paid, whatever it might be. But, you know, our viewership is what's speaking for what TV shows are getting made or at least continue to get made, right? If these garbage reality shows didn't gain viewership, didn't make money for the TV networks, they wouldn't, you know, keep bringing them on the air. They wouldn't be investing money and time and resources into creating these shows if they didn't think it'd be profitable, because we, the consumer, have dictated that this is what we want, you know? So I think there is a responsibility that we have to own to that, you know? And I think to what we said, you know, before earlier in the conversation, when it comes to the record labels, do I understand the optics are absolutely terrible, right? When you have an industry that is, you know, at the executive level, oftentimes, you know, historically at least, old white men, and they are profiting off of, you know, the backs of people of color who are coming from very dire circumstances and sadly are so desperate to get out of the lifestyle they're currently living that they're willing to essentially sell their soul, you know, for a better life. Of course, the optics of that are absolutely terrible, right? And it's much more, it's far easier to take advantage of somebody in that situation rather than, you know, somebody who's grown up in a middle class or upper middle class lifestyle who isn't as desperate for the money, you know, right now, you know, who isn't in such a dire circumstance. But with that in mind, you know, that's not the bigger issue. Again, those contracts would not even be offered if we, the consumer, weren't dictating this is the type of music and the type of artist that we want to hear and see content from. You know, I think it's up to us, the consumer, to really take a hard look in the mirror and ask ourselves, why do we keep rewarding content and entertainment that is really the glorification of some of the worst parts of you know, human nature? And I think that's, again, an existential question that we all kind of have to ask ourselves. And it's not an easy one to do, which is why this conversation is so difficult, and this problem is a difficult one to solve. And with that in mind, thank y'all so much for participating. Those of you who did, I know I didn't get to a bunch of the answers that I got, but I wanted to kind of, you know, talk about one of the counter ones and dive a bit deeper into it than we did before. Again, at DJ Dramos on Instagram if you want to be part of these conversations. And with that said, man, let's tie everything we talked about today in a neat little bow in a segment we call Conclusion Stew.
Time for conclusion.
Man, so we started talking about Nancy Pelosi's husband, right? And Nancy Pelosi being Speaker of the House. She's a congresswoman. And her husband was attacked by a man wielding a hammer in their home. He was searching for Nancy, and she was not there. Now, this is a person who is a conspiracy theorist, believing far-right conspiracy theories, and felt like he had to take it upon himself to take out his anger and teach a lesson to the Democrats who are, quote unquote, you know, feeding lies, right? Man, It just speaks to the fucking craziness of the world that we live in today. And it's just sad to think that people in power are preying upon those who are feeling disenfranchised, right? And are specifically targeting people with lies solely as a means to get ratings, to gain financial, you know, income, to maintain power in office, and have no sort of moral compass or no care for the fact that they are literally dividing this country day by day and man, leading us down a path of potentially destroying democracy as we know it. And even worse, you know, in that leading us possibly to another civil war, because it's very obvious that there are a lot of angry people and a lot of people on the right are taking out their anger and frustration and their belief in these weird conspiracy theories. They're taking them out in physical acts of violence. I mean, January 6th was terrible, but as many say, you know, a failed coup is simply just practice, right? And what is going to be the next terrible thing that happens? You know, they're going to be far more advanced in their planning, and they're going to have learned from their failures the last time, you know, and that's what's incredibly scary. And it just, man, just goes to show the state of this country right now and the division, divisiveness of the media and the politicians. And listen, I think both sides bear some sort of blame in this. But if we're being, you know, truthful, the ones who are truly, you know, committing acts of treason and domestic terrorism, you know, happen to be these far right extremists. And man, it's just a really sad thing to see that an 80 something year old man is being attacked as a result of this because somebody disagrees with their political beliefs or their wife's political beliefs, I should say, or believes that their wife is doing some evil thing that you know, yields physical assault, essentially, right? Or worse, God forbid. Just a weird place to be living in right now, man. And I hope it gets better, but every time I think we're possibly moving in the right direction, it just seems like things are getting worse. I don't know, man. No, I wish I had a positive way to spin that. It's just a scary time to be living in. Now, we talked a bit about takeoff from the Migos and his murder and this whole conversation about music and glorification of certain lifestyles. So I'm not gonna keep rehashing that. I mean, all you could do is you know, send your condolences to his loved ones and just, man, a terrible, terrible situation. Somebody gone at 28 years old that had a whole life ahead of them, and it just, from what we're seeing, really a senseless act of violence, a stray bullet, which is really, really sad. And then talking about the Latina wage gap, man, it's scary to think that it's only increasing in recent years and that it only gets worse as Latinas are more educated, the gap increases. Really scary statistics. It's important to continue talking about these things. I know I've mentioned this before, nothing new on this show, but it's important to keep having these conversations, and any Latinas that are listening or you're raising a young Latina, you know, making sure that we encourage, you know, our community, members of our community to fight for what they're worth, you know, to have those tough conversations in regards to pay and to educate yourself on what is a fair pay wage in your industry and in comparison to your fellow coworkers. And just make sure that you're you know, understanding your worth and your value. And we have to be able to speak up. We can't be afraid to you know, put ourselves in a position to negotiate for what we feel like we deserve, because it's only holding all of us back as a community, and specifically Latinas as a whole. So it's obviously a huge issue, and man, we gotta fight against that and keep having these conversations. And last thing I'll touch on, when we talked about our Mi Gente segment, Dogface. Man, just turning his life around in 2 short years after going viral. Again, when I interviewed this man, he was still living in a trailer. He was telling me he was trying to repair his credit to hopefully get a house for his family. And man, now he's acting in TV shows and doing music and having his own CBD line and all these different things. And I just think it's beautiful to see somebody living out their dreams, you know, and being able to turn their life around by using their creativity. You know, that's something that touches my heart as a creative who fought for so long to be able to make a life out of this stuff. You know, it warms my heart to see that. And as much shit as I talk about the social media era and as many negative things as there are, again, when it comes to being a creator, you know, there's no better time to be living in, and to be able to take advantage of this time period and create a life for yourself, I think is a beautiful thing. And I'll celebrate anybody who's able to do that. Man, now with that said, thank y'all so much for tuning into today's show. Big shout out to my guest, Larito, for hopping on. Go check out his EP that he just dropped. It's really dope. I was listening to it before we hopped on the mic. And dramos.com, if you want to check out some merch, like, subscribe, leave us a nice little review wherever you're listening. All of that stuff really does help us out. Man, with that said, have a great weekend. And I will catch y'all on Tuesday for a brand new episode. Till then, stay safe. I'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
Life as a Gringo is a production of iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.